Aren't you glad there's such a thing as the local church? There's probably one near you. God done that for us, didn't he? Only three eternal things in this world, and if you ever taste that world, you'll be sick of this world. Only three eternal things in this world: the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, and the Holy Saints. And if you want to find those three, you got to go down to the church. I bless the Lord. I remind all the men of God in the place, we've gotten things a little backwards in America. We're a self-absorbed, egomaniacal. The cameras and the spotlights and the microphones don't help. And I remind you that God never looked on the earth and saw a preacher and said, "Wow, he's so special. I'm going to get him a people." But God did look down on the earth and see his people. And he said, "I love them so much, I'm going to get them a shepherd. And it'll be a man that I've been working on. It'll be a man that I've been hallowing. Be a man I've been melting and molding." I bless the Lord. Preachers, we got to remember we're holy servants. We're just servants. If you'd have went by that room the night before Calvary in John 13, somebody'd say, "There's a king in that room." You'd have went by and looked. You'd have come back and said, "I seen 12 men and a servant. I saw a servant down on his hands and knees washing their feet." That's our king. That's our king. I bless the Lord. Thank God for this particular camp meeting. I bless the Lord. It's packed out, Brother Runnels. They're parked in the grass outside when I came in at 6:55. And that's such a blessing. If you're called to preach for just a moment, Brother Runnels wanted to recognize you. If you're called to preach, would you stand? If you just called to preach. If any women stand up, send them on down to Atlanta. There's a high demand. High demand down there. Brother Stroud, this is a good number of preachers, isn't it? God's put in here. Amen. Y'all look around and see. You preachers look around and see your friends and your fellow laborers. It's always great to see somebody still in the race. It's always great to see somebody that's still in the race. That makes me want to keep going. Paul got off that ship wreck in Acts 27 and 28. Brother White said, "And when he saw the brethren, he thanked God and took courage." Y'all look around and take some courage. Because we get drained of it. We get drained quick. The spirit of fear gets on us. Look around and take some courage. It's just courage in the fact that he's still in it. I can stay in it. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Good to see Brother Randy Bell, the man that moderated my ordination service. And there's Sister Mary. She's my new assistant pastor. We have a secret arrangement. We're not even going to tell you about it. Y'all can be seated. Thank the Lord. Hadn't he been good to us? I bless the Lord. Song of Solomon. Thank the Lord. Song of Solomon. I'll be bringing the help of the Lord, a topical sermon out of an expository study. All the topical messages that I get from the Lord come from expositorial studies. That's when you're digging through a passage and then something pops up so good you just have to isolate it. I want to say this before it slips my mind. Brother Kevin Mann, would you stand, Brother Mann, for just a moment? A dear man of God, a dear evangelist, one of the best preacher men that we have. See him this week. He's put out that study Bible with the first mentions. It's one of the most tremendous Bible studies that I have in my study. And it's got all the first mentions underlined. Then it has something I've never seen, Brother Harvey. It has only mentions. And they're underlined and either circled or bold print. When the Holy Ghost put a word in the Bible, in that case, we happen to believe in the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. But what about other languages? Who said God was obligated to give any people a Bible? He gave the world the King James Bible, and He made English the universal language of the last days. Well, what about other languages? Got to get His word to them. We have the inerrant, inspired, infallible, only Word of God. What about the Greek and Hebrew? I love studying the Greek and Hebrew. I go right to the English to see what that Greek word was supposed to mean. I'm not joking. I go right to the English to see what that Hebrew word meant. Because the Holy Ghost told us. The law and the only mentions has blown my mind. Last year, me and Brother Bud both, and Brother Bagwell, we were all preaching out of 2 Peter, three evangelists all at the same time. And we were all in 2 Peter and didn't know the other ones were. I picked up Brother Mann's Bible. I keep it open. I got about 20 different study Bibles, and I keep his next to my reading Bible on my desk because these first mentions and only mentions are amazing. I was in 2 Peter chapter 2, and he had pointed out five words first mentioned. And do you know what, 2 Peter? You're at the end of your Bible. And did you know those five words were only mentions? Right at the end of that book, when he's telling you about the apostasy, there are five new things in this world that wasn't going to be here until the apostasy got here. That blew my mind that at the end of that long Bible, there would be five brand new words and only used one time. I think there were nine first mentions in 2 Peter 2. And that's just things you could never know unless somebody gave their life. The Brother Mann lost his voice and he began writing. He lost his voice and he didn't quit. Some of you ain't lost nothing and you ain't even started. And every time I open up that Bible, I get brand new message. It's just amazing. Now, y'all will appreciate this. You're Baptist. The first mention of the word trouble, I would have never guessed. It's not until Joshua. Somewhere in the first section of Joshua is the first mention of the word trouble. And it was after they crossed over Jordan. What about there ain't no trouble in your Bible until you finally cross Jordan and start fighting giants? And Brother Mann, now that wasn't even the good part. It's one of your nuggets. Right under it was another first mention. It's the word treasury. God put the word trouble and treasury half an inch from each other. Do y'all not see the irony of that? I laugh for a week. I just pointed at it every time. Boy, that's the truth. That's the bottom right there. Trouble and treasury. Oh, so I tell you, you better go get one of those. And don't ask for a half price. Don't. We're all missionaries, evangelists, and pastors. Don't milly grub around and want him to donate it to you. Amen. Go get one of these people look like they got money and do that to them. Like what Brother Ron Garris used to do us. I don't have one of these. I've never had one of these. He'd say it until you gave it to him. Never did ask you for it, but somehow he ended up with it. You know, he did that. That man ended up with a lot of case pocket knives just like that. Him and Dad. Hallelujah. Then go to the next meeting and sell it for $10 more than it was worth. Hey, we're in the ministry. We got to survive. Song of Solomon. So this is a topical thought. I will bounce around the scriptures. Of course, Brother Stroud, Brother Edgar Thomas wasn't scared of them topical sermons. But all them golden nuggets had 9 different scriptures and 9 different books for each message. It's okay to love your Bible. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. Help us now for a little while, Lord, to be a help to your, well, just to whatever the message is supposed to do. Let it do it. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And I want to be in verse 9. Song of Solomon 2, verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. That'll be our text. As I was studying the Song of Solomon, I seen there are 5 scriptures where Jesus is likened to the little red deer. There are 5 scriptures. That's the expository study through the book. I'm not going to read them all to you. I'm not going to read any of them to you other than this one. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Several times, I think maybe 2 or 3 times in chapter 2, once in chapter 4, and once at the end of chapter 8. And so there's about 5 studies right there on how Christ, don't you love your Old Testament? The types, the shadows, the symbols, the pictures, the figures. Thank God we got the Old Testament. Gives us the details. You know, the New Testament said, and there they crucified him. But you got to get in the Old to see what it was like. May have been John Phillips. We all read behind him. He said, if you want to know what Calvary was like to the Father, you go to Genesis 22, Abraham offering Isaac. If you want to know what Calvary was like to the Son, you go to Psalm 22. My God, the 7 sayings of the cross. And he said, if you want to know what Calvary felt like to the Holy Spirit, you go to Isaiah 53, where a third person looks on and gives a narrative. And talks about our report. And to whom is this revealed? And so we thank God for the beautiful pictures in the Old Testament. The reason I'm not going to read them other texts is I'll preach for 2 hours. The reason I'm not going to share any extra thoughts, I'll preach for 3 hours. I try to preach right up till angry 30. Which is, comes quicker than others for some. We be Baptist. So I just pull out one beautiful little thing. I went to my study and I pulled down Benjamin Keach. preaching from the types and metaphors of the Bible, and I pulled down Spurgeon and the Song of Solomon. I pulled out two others from the Song of Solomon. I sat them four preachers around. I offered them all a cup of coffee. Thankfully, nobody took. If anybody ever takes it, I'm out of there. I'm gone. It was McDonald's, I told them. But anyway. I pulled them preachers down, and Benjamin Keats had two pages on what the little red deer is like. And I have to tell you, the thing that I'm bringing to you tonight is the importance of the breath of God. The importance of the breath of God. Benjamin Keats said, and I think a rare book I've got on the Song of Solomon, an old boy named Burroughs, real thick, goes into the archaeology and the geology and the scientific and the, he goes into the botany. This man goes deep. And he said the thing about the little red deer. He said it's in a constant warfare, a battle for the high ground. And it has a natural enemy who also wants the high ground. And it's the serpents. And they live in the rocks. That Mediterranean geography over there, the high places where the little deer like to run and climb just like mountain goats. They're so nimble and swift and hop right up on them. But they like to dwell up there in them highest points in the rocky. And said, but there's something else. Said the serpents like to go up there and make their lair in the crags and crooks, in those rocky little places. And said the little red deer will fight them for dominance of the high ground. Do I have to stop and tell y'all that if you're going to go with Christ and live in the high places and take the high ground, you're going to be in a constant battle with the serpents. Now this was backed up by three of the different preachers from different times. And they said what the little red deer is, it'll stick it as it's climbing, or as it, and you know this thing straight up, their heads, so they can hear them, they can sense them, they can smell them. They know when a serpent is close by. I wish we had some Christians and some preachers who had a little discernment. Can you not sense or smell or feel or touch? Have you no senses? Can you not discern when you're near a serpent, when a serpent's near you? By the way, let me run my first side trail. You notice over and over again in the Song of Solomon about smell, the scent, the smell. The spices, the fragrances, the garden, the trees, all the pomegranates and the calamus and the cinnamon. Do you notice it was a big deal to God in that Old Testament tabernacle, was it not? He wanted that incense burning and that fragrance. The old preachers told us, Brother White, Brother Bell, Brother Ware, I don't know if I can't see real clearly. The old preachers told us that the reason they'd walk in there with that fragrance right before that priest came in with that blood, it covered the smell of flesh and death. Reason we better come in here with our praises and our prayers is sweet to Him, and it covers the smell of our old rotten, wicked nature. It helps. I leaned over and told Chase and Philip a while ago, I said, this is a rowdy crowd here tonight. Hoo! People shouting everywhere. I like them lively stones, Peter said. And I found something in this particular study on the smell. said the reason that God loves the sense of smell, it's the only one the devil didn't corrupt in the garden when he came to Eve. Taste, touch, see, hear, smell. He appealed to her eyes. He appealed to her ears. He appealed to her feel, and he appealed to her taste. He said, but the only one that he didn't corrupt was smell. And the rabbis in the synagogue said that's why he loves the scent. Woo, and I believe I've got a spiritual nose, don't you? I smell what he's a-smelling sometimes. So you know how that little red deer does, how he combats them? Said he'll stick his little nostrils, his little face in that hole, and he'll blast with his breath. He'll huff. He'll blast. You deer hunters have heard them do it out in the woods. Them white tails snort, huff. Said the little red deer will stick his head in and he'll blow until it disturbed, and it quickly disturbs the serpents and they stick their head out. Said he has two weapons. Said he bites them with his mouth and stomps them with his feet. Anybody want to think about our Savior for a moment? The Word of God had bruised him under his feet. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. I guess I ain't helping you, but it's helping me. And you know, right after Calvary, Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. You know what we need when a man's preaching in a pulpit? We need the blast of the breath of God. It'll draw the devils out. You can grab them with your mouth and stomp them with your feet. You know what a church needs? A church needs a prayer meeting. A church needs a visitation from God. A blast of breath. Draw the devils out so they can be removed. You know what a believer needs? Early in the morning, sometime in the afternoon, late in the evening, in the middle of a battle, in the middle of a day, in the middle of a hard year. You need a thank God to breathe in there. What this meeting needs is God's breath to blow in here. And devils come out and them little red deer tear them up. I read an account, three different accounts coming out of the country of Libya, somebody went and did a big study. They said that little red deer said if they ever get one isolated, if he ever gets around a pit of snakes, they'll all attack him. And I read the account where there was a man observed it on purpose. He was there to study the habits of the creature. And said snakes swarmed all over him. He said he got rid of them by falling down and rolling around. And said when he got up and shook off the last one, stomping them and biting them, said they noticed every time that any deer, the little deer, ever had a snake bite, he was immediately thirsty and wanted to go find water. I wrote in my study Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water. Somebody may have been in a real battle with some snakes lately. Come on down here. We got a cool oasis here. The men that observed that little deer coming out of that swarm alive said the little deer dove in the pond. Said he was a-drinking it and a-swimming in it all at the same time. Oh, hallelujah. I know where there's rivers of living water. So I'm going to give you three little things here, a topical journey through the Scriptures. Let me give them to you. Right off the bat, because y'all know I get a little prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it prone to leave the sermon I started. Prone to leave the points I pondered. Prone to leave. and never come back. It happens to many of my servants. But I enjoy them anyhow. I knew what them other points was. Blessed my heart. Three things. I'm going to give them to you off the bat right up front so you can be meditating on them. Then we'll preach whatever we need to. Number one, and in my mind, the Holy Ghost just took me in the Scriptures. Everywhere there was God breathing. Of course, I probably wrote down 10 or 12 things. There's probably much more. But three of them rose to prominence in my study. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul got out of that shipwreck in Acts 28 and verse 3? And he was getting that, Brother Ware, he was getting that fire built up. And said a viper came out of the fire and fastened upon his hand. I got to thinking, I may not be right, but if we get to the millennial reign, we'll ask Paul. I believe I'm probably right. Y'all know how to get a fire going. You get down on your hands and knees and you blow into it. Y'all ain't helping me. You add fuel to the fire and you get down. Whatever he is doing, he is down there close enough for that thing to come out. Maybe he was putting wood on there when it, but I don't know. That ain't enough time. I'm going to jump back. But if he's down, watch this, on his hands and knees, blowing into that thing, come out and got on him. And we're going to need the breath of God because of the vipers that are in the fires. I'm looking for him to come my way. I woke up meditating on the enemy. Lord had me, Lord birthed something yesterday. Amen. Jesus was born in a little barn in a little town yesterday in Ringgold. And I'm looking for that enemy to come on out and fasten. We're going to need the breath of God because of the vipers that come out. Secondly, make a note of this. I went to Ezekiel, where there was a valley of dry bones. There the Lord told him, prophesy. As he began to prophesy, there was breath. There was wind. There was wind. There was breath. You go read Ezekiel 37. It uses it simultaneously. It says breath and wind and breath. Kind of like that Acts 2. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You reckon that was the breath of God? We're going to need that breath because of the valleys of dry bones that he places us in. I'm looking at a great big one right now. Slam full, nothing but. Thirdly, we're going to need it. I thought about old John, chapter 13, verse 23, if you're keeping notes. Do you remember that night before Calvary? Already alluded to earlier in the service when he went by and then he washed their feet and he sat with them in that Last Supper. And y'all remember them disciples had to be an independent Baptist. They were sitting around fussing about whose throne was going to be the biggest. That's how we know we were Baptists from the beginning. That and a rooster come after the chief apostle. Fried chicken happened right there. Do you remember why they were fussing about whose throne would be the greatest? And John said, y'all can have all that. I love him. It sounded like he's leaving us pretty soon. He just crawled over there and laid his head on his bosom. With his head on his bosom, what could he hear? Well, he was close to the body. He was close to the blood with that beating heart. And you know, over John's head had to shower that breathing as he breathed. John got covered with the breath of God that night. I advise all of us preachers, quit worrying about who's big and who's little and who's first and who's last. Crawl over there and let's lay our head on his bosom, because there's going to be a long voyage. His was a long journey. He's the only one they couldn't kill. Whatever God breathed on him, it was enough for him to show up at the cross. He was the only apostle, disciple there that actually showed up at Calvary. Simon Peter did, but he saw it afar off. He was standing with the enemy when he saw it. But John was standing with that first little church, them handful of women. John standing there with those women. Here come Nicodemus. I got 100 pounds of worship we're going to pour on his body. Here come Joseph of Arimathea. He can have my place with the elites over here. I got a place for his body. Oh, and John stood at the cross. All of the apostles were put to death and were killed, but John was the only one they couldn't kill. Boiled him in oil and he wouldn't die. Exiled to Patmos. Lived out his full years. Lived to be an old man. Took care of Mary. Boy, I'd like to have been on that front porch, wouldn't you? Them rocking chairs with them two old saints. I believe, Brother Randy, you told me that Mary's grave and John's grave was in front of that little church at Ephesus, where Timothy was the pastor. How would y'all like to went to church at Ephesus? Mary will be doing the mother-daughter banquet on how to raise godly children. John's going to go over the book of Revelation with us. Give us some insights. I needed them because every preacher that writes a book on Revelation says something different than the last guy. I agree with whatever book I last read. If you give me a bad book, Uncle Randy, I'm going to believe it. Make sure you give me a good one. And how to let Timothy? Well, my pastor's coming by this weekend. Paul will be here. I think we'll let him preach a little on Sunday night. Or Timothy say, got a phone call from the apostle, and he shared some things with me. I'll be going over that the next 4 Sundays. How would you like to go to that church? Woo! How would you like to sat on that front porch with John and Mary? What was Jesus' first word? All them lost years, those hidden years. Only when he was a little baby boy Three gifts, wise men come from these. At age 12, popped his head up over there, astounding the doctors in the temple. Had to remind his mom about the virgin birth. You'd have think if you'd have had the virgin birth, you'd have not forgot it. Thy father and I have sought thee, mama. Ever so gently corrected his mother in the form of a question. Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And yet Mary got over it. By the time he's 12, she got over it. Left him. Y'all ever left a kid at church? I'm one that's been abandoned at the church. If your daddy was a pastor and lived in a parsonage, how many of you were left sleeping under a pew? Half of these youngins have been left at church. Many of them don't remember it. Don't tell them. It'll come up in them psychological hidden memories. We'll come out of our box and lose our mind when we're age 31. But till then, let us enjoy medication-free living. Ah! Well, did you ever leave them there for 3 days? I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. They got over it. What if you was a member of the church at Ephesus? Good night, Timothy's the pet preacher boy of the great apostle. Getting all the revelations. Mary's telling childhood stories. John's telling what he saw in the beginning and what he saw in the end. John and Revelation. And what did that church have to be rebuked for? I have somewhat against thee. I'd left thy first love. If anybody was loaded down with the treasures of the kingdom of God, they were. Kind of remind you of some of our great heritage churches in the South. If anybody's been loaded down with treasures from heaven, it's us. And we get more excited about college football, get more excited about golf, get more excited about a dollar bill raise at your job, get more excited, get more worked up about a business meeting than you ever did about a prayer meeting. We get over it. We need that breath. Let's talk about him for a moment. I'm nearly done now, and y'all know that may not be true. But I mean for it, Brother Mark. I mean for it to be true. Let's talk about it for a minute. You're going to need that breath because of them vipers. Would y'all turn to Acts 28? If you give me 4 minutes here, and I'll try to take 4 minutes with the other, 4 minutes with the other. Probably won't work out that way, but that's the plan. Acts 28. I'm not going to turn over. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost direct my heart. First thing you need to understand, what verse is it? Now, y'all got to help me. I need some Bible young preachers help me. What verse is it where they said, no doubt this man is a murderer? I'm in Acts 28, verse 4. What verse is it where it said that a viper fastened to his hand? Verse 3. And then they said, no doubt this man is a murderer. Verse 4. Well, he shook the beast off into the fire and felt no harm. And then they said he's a god. What, verse 6? He's a god. Can I say something to y'all? I'm going to say this to the believers. I'm going to say it to the men of God. You better quit listening to the crowd. You ain't as bad as they say you are, when they say you're bad. You're not that bad. And then, you're not as good as they say we are when they say we're good. We're not as bad as the enemy says. We're not as good as the fans say. We just need to remember that we're just saved. I was a murderer, but I ain't no more. Paul was. What they had wrong, the word murderer wasn't wrong. What they had word is the tense. He no longer was what he used to be. Hey, man. This man isn't, well, he was. Well, he was, but something happened on the road to Damascus, and he ain't that man no more. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not the man I used to be. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh. Don't listen to the accusers. I always do. I'm not near as strong as some of you young preachers maybe think Brother Dean is. I listen to them. And I get down because I know that I'm worse than what they're saying. Huh? But the Lord, he'll come along and reach his head up in that little hole. That's too many snakes for Dean here. He'll blow in there and boy, I'll come out. Woo! Thank God. Thank God. I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. Somebody said he'll take you just like you are. But he won't let you stay that way. And then don't believe when they say you're a God. Who was that said, y'all remind me, what preacher am I thinking of? He said, stand up, I myself also am a man. Who said that? Stand up, I myself also am a man. Yeah, Peter and Cornelius. Seemed like somebody over there in the book of Revelation said it too. Stand up, huh? Yeah, that too. There's two or three of them in there. I'm going to tell y'all something, gentlemen. I'm thinking I'm not going to call his name. He's been in heaven several years. I'm not going to call his name. Stuff grieves me. But I can remember. And we better never forget what God said to Saul. When thou wast little in thine own eyes, I'm thinking about one of the greatest preachers this nation ever saw, but the last few years, he allowed men to worship him. A few of these white-haired preachers will know. He allowed men to worship him. He welcomed it. Had the girls sing to him. Had the girls sing about him. One of the greatest preachers our nation's known. Now, I'm not going to call his name because he was God's man. But things didn't end well. Oh, we better not believe them when they tell us how wonderful we are. You better come to a point in your life and in your ministry where when they tell you how bad you are, you don't believe it. And when they tell you how wonderful you are, you don't believe that. You just need to worry about one thing, how saved you are. You ever get down on your hands and knees and get a fire going, the snakes are going to come out. You go to a mission field and watch the snakes come out. You walk into a new church and watch the snakes come out. You launch out into the deep and watch the snakes come out. Get on your hands and knees and help build the fire. And watch the snakes come out. Better learn to shake it off. What verse is it says? And when he had shook off the beast. Verse 5, number of grace. I can't help but see the second coming right there. There's coming a day the beast, who is a serpent, is going into the fire. And that little no harm lines right up with the revelation. No more death, no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no more sin, no harm. You better learn to shake it off. Shaking it off don't mean you embrace your wound and you passively, aggressively post on Facebook for 6 months. All the passive-aggressive comments in a camp meeting. All the passive-aggressive posting on Facebook. All the passive-aggressive little barbs between you and your wife. I can preach freely on these things. Jennifer's not here, see. I preach against the cameras so she can't watch. Somebody said amen. Oh, dear time. Some of you better learn to shake it off. You're not as bad as they said. You're not as good as they said. Oh, you're going to need that. Go to Ezekiel quickly. This is a golden nugget, Edgar Thomas. Topical type. I love this. Somebody needs to see this. Preachers need to see this. Ezekiel 37. I'm not going to turn there. I got verse 5 written down here for some reason. Breath in the bones. That valley of dry bones. Verse 9, I got that wind. What verse, y'all tell me, somebody stay right with me. What verse is it where he tells Ezekiel, prophesy? Verse 10, seemed like it'd be before that. Verse 9, prophesy! And then tell me what verse that the Lord came along and he started talking. 12? Yeah. Yeah. You know what'll happen, gentlemen? Hey! I don't care how awful, depressing your valley of dry bones look. All you got to do is stand up and put the trumpet to your mouth. And if you start, then he'll start right behind you. Verse 12. Somebody read verse 12 for me. The good, what do you mean with a good strong voice? Now, somewhere in there, 9, 10, and 11, as Ezekiel prophesied, the Lord started prophesying. And then what verse has wind and breath in it? Wind and breath. Gentlemen, if you'll just stand up over your valley of dry bones, believe God, start preaching. The Lord, in a minute, somebody will be behind you. He'll start preaching while you're preaching. Wind will come. He'll breathe. In his world, it's a little breath. In your world, it'll be a hurricane. Amen. And God will raise it up. God will raise it up. My brother-in-law, this is a complicated story. You may not even get it, but there's a blessing in it. I'll make it short. Y'all know Brother Chris Hanks, my brother-in-law. God brought him out of Colorado, gave him Billy Goosley's old church. And by that time, 20 years of illness and a lot of things, that thing had got down to the bottom. It had gotten down to the bottom. That church got to the bottom. Cobwebs and devils. He stood there. First time we went by, he asked my little son, Preston. Preston was just a brand new teenage preacher boy 3 years ago. He asked Preston to get up. Preston read the message on Gideon's army. And he just read the scripture and he said, God is going to make y'all a lot smaller before he's done, so he can be a lot bigger when it's all done. He's already on a low, and he said, God's going to make y'all smaller. Brother Chris got on the altar and surrendered to that and said, okay, we're on the bottom, and we're going to the basement. I got a call from a man out in the Midwest. Brother Adams will know who I'm talking about, a man. So much brokenness. He told me last year, he said, Brother Dan, rock bottom does have a basement. And Preston said, God's going to make you even small. You're already too small for the battle, so the way God's going to fix it is make you smaller. His ways are not our ways. Come back a year later, and Preston's in school, and Brother Chris asked him to get up, and he stood up, and Preston felt led to go to this chapter. And Preston had no idea what he'd said the first time or this time. Just a preacher kid preaching one of his first 10 messages. And preached on it and said, when God gives you a big army. Oh, y'all ain't helping me. I'll throw this pulpit at you. Or the flowers. They're kind of done. It ain't springtime. Oh, I got news for you. If you'll stand over your valley of dry bones, it may be in your marriage. It may be in your ministry. You may be looking at your teenagers and it's a valley of dry bones. I don't know what you're looking at, valley of dry bones. Just start speaking the word of the Lord. Somebody get behind you in a minute and start blowing. Once you go to the last one, go to John 13 and I'll be done. You're going to need it because there's a long voyage ahead. John! They stood! Outlived, outlasted all of them. What a journey. What a long journey. I want one of our pianists to come to the piano and begin to softly play, Brother Runnels. You send somebody up, whoever you want, softly. Can I talk to y'all for 60 seconds before we give an altar call? I don't know. I'm not trying to say this is so. I wonder if one of them other men would have also got on the bosom of Jesus and let God breathe on him. Would he have lived out all of his days? Would he have wrote gospels like John and books like Revelation? Would he have been the one to see Calvary and then been the one to see the end of the first century? Wonder why John got to see the cross. Then he saw the beginning. How does John 1 begin? In the beginning. John stood at the beginning. And John stood at the end. Brother Runnels, I wonder if John was on that Isle of Patmos after taking care of Jesus' mama, after helping that first little bride. All the preachers were gone. Brother Harvey, do you ever feel like all your friends are gone? The ones you ran with, the ones you served with, the ones you lived with, sacrificed with. You ever feel like they're just about all gone? With John, they were. And he ended up on a rocky, barren island. Charles Lawson, Knoxville, told me he stood on that island. Said it's very small, no grass, no trees, no wildlife because of that. Barren and rocky. And I heard old Barry Rackley from the mountains preach on Treasure Island. And he said, I wonder if John was laying there after all them decades of being the faithful one and said, Lord, does this how it all end? Me laying here, does this how it end? Brother Rackley said an angel come up behind him and tapped him on the shoulder and said, no. The Father wanted me to come tell you, no, this is not how it ends. Do you want to see how it all ends? Amen. We're going to need his breath. He may hand real big things to Paul and Peter, who didn't deserve it. Peter was a blasphemer and a quitter. Paul was a murderer of the church and a blasphemer. God did a work of grace in both of them and gave them the church, gave them the book of Acts. Gave John, one little old woman, said, I got a rest home ministry for you. It's a rest home ministry with one member. You're the only one I can trust to do something this little. See you in a few decades. They'll be gone. I'll need you then. And then he come back after that rest home ministry and God gave him Children's Church. Brother Darby, I remember you and your little wife, little teenage junior kids over there with Donnie Chandler. I remember preaching for Brother Donnie and little old teenage boy in the back going bus route. Little things. He come out of that rest home ministry and God set him down with all them first little churches. And he wrote 1 John, little children, my little children, little children. He was the greatest preacher I think Jesus ever had. And God gave him a rest home ministry and a children's church. When thou was little in thine own eyes. You're going to need his breath. You'll end up quitting your call. You're going to need his breath. You'll end up abandoning your post. You're going to need his breath when they boil you in oil. You're going to need his breath when you're the last one left. We need his breath. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to stand to your feet. Preachers, y'all want to bring each other to the altar and pray one for another. Christians, you want to bring each other to the altar. Let's pray one for another. Can you play Amazing Grace? And here in just a minute, y'all sing whatever's on your heart. If you're lost without Christ, Jesus will save you. If you're lost without Christ, come to Jesus. He'll save you.